This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. Open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and let's join Pastor Sandy for the conclusion of his message entitled, Our Armor.
When you become a Christian, the Bible says that spiritually speaking, God performs a heart transplant in you. He gives you a new heart, a new set of desires. Now that I'm a follower of Jesus, there are a lot of activities I suddenly want to do that didn't appeal to me before. There are also some activities I no longer want to participate in that I used to do regularly. Jesus transforms my heart or my desires. You could say Jesus changes my want-tos. Spiritual desires replace selfish desires. Godly urges replace greedy urges. The glory of God becomes my chief ambition. In Christ, I get a new set of wants. And yet, as I said last week, Satan doesn't play by the rules, does he? He doesn't respect or even acknowledge our new desires. He certainly doesn't support them. In fact, his strategy is to tempt us with those old desires, inflame the old passions, reactivate those latent lusts. Oh, he'll send some old buddies over to your house with a cold six-pack, and you're thirsty. Or he'll have your former boyfriend Facebook you a message. Or out of nowhere, an opportunity arises for you to make big bucks. Hey, Satan does whatever he can to revive your carnal cravings, to lure your heart away from God. He wants you to slide back into the sin from which you've escaped. It's been said, free cheese is always available in mouse traps. It is. Satan makes temptation oh so tempting. Well, how do I resist the bait, the free cheese, that dangling carrot? Well, there's only one way, and that is by protecting my heart, my desires, with this breastplate. Remember, the breastplate was attached to the belt of truth, and Jesus says it's the truth that sets us free. To put on the breastplate of righteousness is to believe the Bible truth, that I am not the person I used to be. That in Christ I have a whole new identity. The old person I once was, that old nature, died on the cross with Jesus. And now through his resurrection power, I'm a new man with a new nature and new desires. Believe that by God's grace, you're now something clean and pure and forgiven and empowered and eternal and even useful for the Master's purposes. That's how he sees you. Right now, strap on the breastplate. Suit up. Put on new desires. Put on God's righteousness, not your own. I love the story about the great church father, Augustine. He wasn't always a great church father. In fact, before he became a Christian, Augustine was a real party animal. He had a mistress. He was shacking up with a gal for a while, had a child out of wedlock. Shortly after his conversion, he was walking down the street one day when his former girlfriend saw him. She came running towards him. Augustine, it is I, it is I, she shouted. I like how Augustine responded. He took off in the opposite direction, shouting, but it is not I, it is not I. You see, those old desires can betray you. Hey, the old desires no longer feel right when you really see yourself as right with God. You know, often the legionnaire's breastplate bore the insignia of Rome. He wore the Roman crest over his heart, literally. It was a badge of honor. The soldier was proud to have been chosen to protect history's greatest empire. And while wearing that breastplate, he avoided anything that might disgrace the cause for which it stood. And likewise, how can we entertain a thought or harbor a desire contrary to the cause of Christ when the breastplate of His righteousness sits over our hearts? Let's do nothing that will bring shame to His name. And then notice, too, the soldier's sandals of peace. Understand, we're not talking flip-flops here. These were battle cleats. These were leggings fit for the rigors of combat. These were an infantryman's war sandals. These sandals were half boots made of leather straps. They had an open toe, and they laced up your shins. The soles of the shoes were studded with hobnails that provided traction on slippery surfaces. In the words of Larry Munson, they would kick you with a hobnail boot. Thought there were more Georgia fans out there than that. But these sandals, they worked like baseball cleats. They enabled the soldier to sort of dig in and stand his ground. The spikes on the soles of the shoes provided him stability. You see, when you're engaged in hand-to-hand combat, footing is strategic. For if the enemy can trip you up or knock you off balance, then you're a sitting duck. And the same is true in this unseen war. You see, Satan tries to knock the props out from under our faith, bump us off balance, trip us up, just confuse us for just enough time so that while we're stumbling, while we're trying to right ourselves, he can come in and stab us with his deadly dagger. See, here's how all this works. You're cruising along in your Christian life. You're doing great until someone comes up and asks you a hypothetical question to which you lack an answer. Hey, man, well, how about all those pygmies in Africa who die and never get a chance to hear the gospel? What happens to them? Is God going to judge them? And you start thinking, wow, what happens to those pygmies? I never thought of that. The question throws you for a loop. And the frustration you feel not having the answer at that moment, it grows into doubt and into confusion. And in that moment, your faith begins to falter. You start to stumble, and that allows Satan to come in and slip in his knife. Here's another unsettling scenario. Rather than a question you can't answer, perhaps it's a situation you can't explain. A good person you know suffers. A guilty man walks and gets off scot-free. And you pray for a reason. Lord, why did this happen? And yet the heavens remain silent. How could God allow such a terrible thing to happen? And you begin to ask yourself that question. And over time, you start to doubt God's goodness and his fairness and his grace. And in that season of doubt, once again, Satan slips in and he causes mayhem. This is how he hijacks our faith. Well, you see, how do you keep your footing when you're forced to walk through dark places, down lonely, confusing paths? Here's how you do it. You need your feet shod with the peace of God. God's peace acts like a pair of cleats. It keeps you balanced. It holds you in place. When you start to stumble or make a sharp turn, it's the peace of God that keeps you steady and keeps you locked in and keeps your faith on target. You see, when God's peace is real and tangible in my heart, I don't need an answer at that moment. I don't need an explanation right away. The peace of God provides me the stability that I need in the face of events I can't explain and questions I can't answer. You see, a soldier in combat, he goes through these things and he needs a certain peace in his heart. I once heard of a soldier on the front lines. He was getting all these letters from his wife, and they were depressing letters. I mean, here he is out fighting a battle. He's on the front lines of a war, and all his wife can do is send him letters full of petty complaints. I mean, this man needs his wife's encouragement, but all she's providing him are itemized lists of her grievances. Well, finally, the husband, he wrote his wife back, and in his letter he pleaded, he said, "Please, honey, stop the nagging. Let me enjoy this war in peace." Well, if you strap on God's promises, then you'll know peace even in the midst of a battle. I mean, how else can you explain Paul and Silas in that Philippi jail? Their backs are beaten into bloody ribbons. They're hanging from the stocks in this cold, damp prison. Rats are nibbling at their toes. Bugs are crawling all over their bodies. And all they're guilty of is preaching the gospel. Now imagine their complaints. And yet that's not what we read. Acts 16 reads, "At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." How can that be? How can you be in such agony and yet still be praising God? There is only one answer. These men were wearing the sandals of the gospel of peace. They had the peace of God, the supernatural peace of God. John Corson is the pastor of Applegate Christian Fellowship in Oregon. John lost his daughter to a fatal automobile accident, and at her memorial service, John testified of the tremendous peace that God had given him. He said that when he trusted God, an amazing peace ruled his heart. But when he tried to make sense of his daughter's death, God's peace would vanish. Suddenly it dawned on John, the Bible calls God's peace the peace that passes all understanding. You see, in his search for understanding, he sacrificed God's peace. John realized that there are times when you can't have both. Understanding and peace don't always ride in tandem. Sometimes you have to choose between them. Do you want understanding or do you want God's peace? And of course, John chose God's peace. You see, when life stirs up the pot, when there seems to be no answer or explanation for what's happened, let the supernatural peace of God bubble up from within and comfort your troubled heart. Despite your ignorance or your distress, hold on to God's peace and you can rejoice in Christ. You see, the answers you need will come in due time, but in the meantime, remember this. What's over my head is still under God's feet. It is. As Blaise Pascal once said, the heart has reasons that the reason knows nothing about. Suit yourself up with the sandals of peace. And then notice another piece of the armor. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. See, the Roman soldier carried a shield that was maybe 4 foot high by 2.5 feet wide. It was made of brass and covered with multi-layers of leather. And before a soldier went into battle, he would soak this shield in water. The wet leather would extinguish the flaming arrows that were shot by the enemy. After the battle, often the shield looked like a porcupine, a leather pelt covered with quills or arrows. It was common practice in ancient warfare to dip your arrows in tar and set them on fire. And so the archers would line up side by side and they would shoot a barrage of arrows at the enemy. And when this flurry of arrows were launched, the shield was large enough for a soldier to place it on the ground and then crouch his whole body underneath it. It was whole body protection for him. This explains Paul's use of the phrase, and above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield complemented all the other pieces of armor. It provided an overall protection. And this is comforting for us in the spiritual battle that we face. For Satan doesn't always just fight with single thrust, does he? There are times when he and his demons launch from all directions. You ever had those days? Where, I mean, a whole volley of flaming arrows land at the same time. Satan's fiery darts might include a simultaneous attack of anger and then doubt and then jealousy and lust and arrogance and bitterness. And for the moment, there's nowhere to run. There's nothing you can do. Well, when you're under such heavy attack, here's what you do. You crouch underneath that shield of faith. You trust God and wait on Him. 1 John 5 verse 4 tells us, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Don't get caught off guard. Keep the shield of faith nearby at all times. And you know, there's one more interesting feature of the Roman shield that I should mention. These shields were gangable. Their edges were made to interlock with other shields, so that when a barrage of fiery arrows came falling from the sky, a Roman soldier was trained to turn to his buddy next to him and link his shield with their shield. Multiple shields formed sort of a massive metal roof over the top of the battalion. The shield was a constant reminder that soldiers were better protected when they fought side by side. And how we need that same reminder in the spiritual battle that we face. Hey, make sure you're fighting alongside other believers, for we are stronger together than we are apart. We want to link our lives with one another, and we gain strength. And then there's one final piece of armor here. It's the helmet of salvation. You know, the Roman helmet had to be strong enough to withstand the blow of a hammer or a battle axe. In the front of the helmet, it covered the forehead. On the sides, there were plates that came over the cheeks. In the back, the helmet extended down beyond the collar that protected, so it protected the shoulder's neck. And then for comfort and cushion, it was lined with a sponge. It sort of acted like a shock absorber. The Roman helmet was very similar to a modern-day football helmet. And what football player would venture onto the field without a helmet? There are guys who've lost their helmet in the middle of a play and risk danger, but you'd be a nut to go onto a football field without first strapping on a helmet. Likewise, no soldier would ever go to battle without his helmet. You see, without a helmet, his chances of survival were slim to none. A helmetless soldier was hopeless. In essence, this is what a helmet provided. It provided hope. For even if a soldier made a mistake, even if he stumbled and suffered a blow, he might still survive because he was wearing that helmet. And this is what the helmet of salvation provides for you and me, spiritual hope. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8 tells us, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Did you know that as Christians, we have a bright future? Did you know that? Oh, we look at the world around us, the mess that it's in, and we say, oh my, and we worry and we wonder. But you have a bright future. Untold treasures and pleasures await you and I in this life and in heaven to come. We have great hope. But we need to keep our hope in mind, and we need to keep our minds on hope. We do this by putting on the helmet of salvation. Every choice we make, every decision, every consideration should be filtered through the grid of our salvation. As a child of God, is this fitting? Given my destiny, is this really appropriate? That's how we should think. I read of a dad who took his little boy down to the pet store to purchase a puppy. Well, the little boy, he took one look at the litter of new puppies, and he told his dad he wanted the pup who was wagging his tail. Well, his daddy asked why, and he replied, "Dad, I want the one with the happy ending." One day, every trial begun on this earth will finish with a happy ending. That is, if you know God, if you're called according to His purpose, we'll all be wagging our tails in the end. The problem, though, is that we need to remember our future in the midst of our present. In essence, we need to stay hopeful. Right now, you might be dragging rather than wagging. We're in the process of enduring the trial, not celebrating the victory. But that celebration will come, and you need to keep your eyes on the victory. Today, we're sowing seeds, but in the end, we'll reap the harvest. This is why we need to strap on the helmet of salvation and of hope. Refuse to take it off. To endure our temporal trials, we need an eternal perspective. You see, Satan is the author of these negative attitudes and cynical assumptions. He would love to lodge negative thoughts in your mind, turn you into a sour, bitter, angry person. But the devil can't do that if you're wearing God's helmet and if your focus is fixed on your salvation. You can't get down for long. You know, evil thoughts are considered Satan's fiery darts. Has this ever happened to you? Just out of the blue, an evil thought flashes across your mind? I mean, like a lightning bolt. Has this ever happened to you? Am I the only one? I mean, you might even be sitting in church among God's people when suddenly a shameful, perverted, embarrassing thought runs through your brain. You think, where in the world did that come from? My, oh my. Pastor Sandy's not that ugly. What am I thinking? Well, I'll tell you where it came from the enemy. Yeah, that's where it came from. You know, Martin Luther compared these evil thoughts to birds in the sky. He said, you can't keep them from flying over your head, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair. Hey, the devil can send an evil thought across the screen of my mind, but I don't have to dwell on it. I can send it on as fast as it came. I can put on the helmet of salvation and redirect my thoughts. Philippians 4, verse 8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You strap on the helmet of salvation, this helmet of hope, when you choose to retrain your mind to think God's thoughts and dwell on life from His perspective. The Black College Fund has a motto, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And God has the same slogan. Put on the helmet and think in light of God's word. Well, in conclusion, notice the one part of the body that's not protected by any armor. The answer is our back. It's our back. For one, we need to have each other's back. He's called us together as the family of God, and we need to watch out for each other's back. But I think another reason God provides no armor for the rear is that He has no plans for our retreat. He has called us to resist the devil, not tuck tail and run. Take note of it. Three times in Ephesians 6, Paul says to stand against the devil. I love the motto of the French Foreign Legion. It's almost biblical. It reads, if I falter, push me on. If I stumble, pick me up. If I retreat, shoot me. Always remember, God has no armor for the backside. For James 4, verse 7 tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, when I played football in high school, the first few days of practice were always in shorts and cleats. The coaches would put us through a week or so of conditioning. We'd run a few plays, catch a pass or two, get our legs under us. But everyone knew that in a few days it all would change. I mean, you could be a superstar in shorts and cleats. Or you could get the impression that football was all fun and frolic. But everyone knew it wasn't really football until the pads came on and until the hitting started. And the same is true in the Christian life. Oh, when you're first saved, it's like shorts and cleats. Oh, you're just jogging around feeling great. The new life in Christ is a breeze. But I'm warning you, there's an unseen war. There's a spiritual battle. And it won't be long before the hitting starts. That great philosopher, Mike Tyson, once said, everybody's got a plan until you get punched. What are you going to do when you get punched? When the hitting starts? Hey, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need some pads. You need some protection. And here's good news. God has issued us all of the equipment that we'll ever need. Not just Under Armour, but the whole armor of God is ours. Put on that belt of truth. Guard your feelings with the truth of God's word. Latch on that breastplate of righteousness. Watch over your desires. Cultivate those new desires that are yours in Christ. Put on those sandals of peace. Lace them up. Choose God's peace. It'll take you further than even understanding. And then hide behind that shield of faith when you need to. Above all, have faith. And put on a helmet of salvation. Think pure thoughts. See your life today in light of God's word. You see, don't leave your spiritual protection hanging in your locker. Suit up. Strap it on. Put on the armor of God. It's time that you and I lived in victory, not defeat. Let's put on the armor of God.
The book of Ephesians is one of the most important books in the whole of the Bible. As Pastor Sandy teaches through this book, we'll hear messages entitled Absolute Assurances, God's Charge to the Church, Walk in Love, and The Final Four. Each message in this series tackles just a few verses so that we will fully comprehend and digest this wonderful message from God through the Apostle Paul. This has been another edition of Sandy Adams Radio with our pastor and teacher, Sandy Adams. Now, we're sure that today's message in Ephesians has blessed and encouraged you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Maybe you'd like to review this message again, or perhaps a family member or friend has come to mind today. Log on to sandyadams.org and click on the radio program option. There you'll find today's message. All you need to do is remember today's date. And log on to sandyadams.org and then click on the radio program option from the main menu. Or you can give us a call here at the church. Our phone number is 770-736-2828. Again, just mention today's date and we'll send you the full-length CD. Next time, Pastor Sandy will continue to take us verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. On behalf of Pastor Sandy and the entire production team, we want to say thank you for tuning in, and may God bless you.